Good evening and welcome to Monday Night Playhouse on CBC Radio 2. I'm James Roy. Tonight we present Episode 3 in the comic series The Seven Deadly Sins. Written by playwright Greg Nelson, it's the tale of a small-town Alberta church with a big congregation problem. Last episode, Reverend Kevin, Dudley's new minister, was struggling to increase the number in his congregation. At first he thought this would be his opportunity to escape the town and get a new church somewhere else. But that was before he fell for Michelle, a beautiful stranger, who was in town to solve a family mystery. Here now is Sloth, Episode 3 of The Seven Deadly Sins by Greg Nelson.
I think of myself as a basically straightforward person. I don't expect a lot from life or, God forbid, from people. But I did think that after graduating from theological college and getting ordained, that I would actually get to be a minister of a church with a congregation. Instead, I find myself in Dudley, Alberta. I mean, sure, yes, technically there is a church, as in a church building, but there definitely isn't a congregation. There's just Harold and Verna, the caretaker and the organist. I'm sure there has to be a minimum of like 10 people, you know, maybe 20. I'd have to look it up. But the point is, I now have to be like a publicist. I have to sell myself to the fine, upstanding citizens of Dudley. I have no idea how to begin. So, I call Harold and Verna into my office. I think we should form a committee.
A committee?
We have to get organized. We need some strategies. We need, like, a plan.
Good idea, Reverend.
You know what I think the problem is? People don't know.
That's right.
They don't know how you cured me of my luck.
That's right.
And Harold with his greed, didn't he, Harold?
Cured me, you betcha.
And I just think, if people knew, well, they'd be lining up outside this church.
Yes.
Clamoring to get inside, get cured of their sins.
Amen.
Oh, okay, well, just, I didn't cure you, Verna. No, I didn't. In fact, you know what? I'm not big on sin. That's not my style, all this curing talk and healing. It makes me crazy. I'm about community and just bringing people together as a fellowship of, you know, faith. Because once they come, they're going to love it. They are. I'm an excellent preacher. I don't mean to brag, but I scored very high on that in school. You know, in sermon class, I was kind of the star.
I've got it! We have to go door to door.
We what?
We have to introduce you to the town, one house at a time.
I love it. Great idea, Reverend. What do you think?
Well,
the truth is, I can't come up with anything better.
I guess it's worth a shot.
I'll go with you, Reverend. Harold can stay and work on the church. He's got plenty to do around here.
Yeah, I gotta put on that new roof.
That's right, and the windows.
We gotta give her a new coat of paint, inside and out, the whole shebang.
This is exciting!
They have all this energy. I just get carried along.
Okay, team. Hop, 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 let's get started.
Our first house has a run-down look. Weeds are growing out of the driveway. The grass looks like it hasn't been mown since June. Guess there's nobody home.
There you are, Rick. Golly, we were just about ready to go next door.
Well, hey there, Verna.
Rick, I'd like you to meet Reverend Kevin. He's the new pastor over at the church there.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Rick. We just wanted to...
Hey, Jody! Come meet the new priest!
Actually, I'm not really a Catholic.
Hey, Rick, guess what? The Reverend cured me of my lust.
Verna,
me and Curtis were having an affair up there in the hills. Well, along comes the Reverend.
I'm sure Rick
cured
doesn't...
me, just like that.
Anyway, we thought you might like to know, Rick, that the church is open again, for business, so to speak. Not that it is a business. It isn't. That's not how... See, I'd like to think of it more as a community. And anyway, we'd sure love to see you, Rick, there, on Sunday.
Well, we'll do our best, Reverend.
Great, that's...
Joni loves church. We watch all the Christian channels.
Really?
Hey, Joni!
I'll just get her.
No, that's okay. We don't want to interrupt.
We'll see you on Sunday then, Rick.
Okay, Verna. Real nice to meet you, Father.
You see, I told you this would work.
Listen, Verna, about the lust thing.
I'm sorry, Reverend.
I'd really rather not go there.
You're right. You're absolutely... Don't you let me craft your style.
We continue knocking on doors, but as it turns out, nobody else is home. Nobody. We're talking 20, 30 houses, not a single person. It's typical, really. I mean, this town is just weird. Frankly, I'm not yet convinced that Dudley isn't some giant, recently abandoned Hollywood film set. You know, for some kind of strange agricultural western that suddenly lost all its funding and they all just pulled out.
I don't understand it. Where is everyone?
Come on, let's call it quits. On my way back home to the manse, I stopped by the Dudley Hotel. I'm looking for Michelle. The woman from Calgary? The one that's doing the research? The attractive one? She's been staying here, and, well, more than attractive, really. I'd have to say mesmerizing. The mesmerizing woman from Calgary. Michelle! It's Kevin! We were really hitting it off. Sparks were beginning to fly, so to speak. But a couple of days ago, she suddenly just disappeared. I think she must have changed her mind about the sparks. Which, I have to admit, I find extremely disappointing. Michelle? When I get back to the manse, I discover Harold. He's down in the cellar, wedged in behind the furnace.
Oh, hi there, Reverend. Just give me a second.
Harold, how did you get in?
I'm just checking out your pipes.
You can't just come into my house and...
What's that, Reverend?
Never mind.
I'll tell you one thing. You got yourself an antique furnace here. She's a real beauty. hey, look at that.
What?
There's something back here.
Really? What?
It looks like some kind of... hang on. Let me see if I can...
What is it?
There we go. Here. Grab the handle here. I'll get in behind.
Oh.
Easy now. Easy.
It's a steamer trunk. Very old. Very big. And
oh
very
my
heavy.
God. Hey, watch yourself, okay?
Talk about an antique. Does it open?
No. Locked up tight. Geez, what do you suppose is in there, Reverend?
Gosh, I have no idea.
You know what I'm thinking?
What?
I'm thinking this belonged to old A.D. himself. I'm thinking this could be extremely valuable.
Not to mention significant.
That's right.
Historically. A.D. is Archibald Dudley, founding father. Town's named after him. Built the church, built the manse, and lived here as far as we know. He's also the subject of Michelle's research. I can't help thinking she'd be more than interested by whatever's in here.
Harold, are there any locksmiths in town?
Well, there's Sam down there at the garage.
You think he could open this trunk?
Oh, for sure. He'd give her a good go.
Let's do it.
All righty. Here. Give me a hand. Watch out. Not too far over that way. All right. Easier. Easy now.
Up.
Easy. Up.
Okay.
We managed to haul it up the ladder, through the trapdoor, into the kitchen, down the hall, out the front door, and onto Harold's truck. And when we get there, we haul it off the truck and into the garage. Only to discover that Sam isn't there. A note is taped to the door.
Gone down the beverage room. Oh, we're gone.
Oh, great.
Okay. Let's put her back on.
We haul it back onto the truck and drive over to the hotel, at which point we decide to just leave it where it is and head inside. The beverage room is a classic of the genre. The kind of place where everyone buys a pitcher. You know, they don't just buy a beer, they buy a pitcher. And then they drink their pitcher, and then they have another pitcher. It takes a moment for my eyes to adjust to the gloom.
There he is.
Where?
sitting over there with Pete. Oh, by the way, Reverend, just so you know, Sam's missing a couple of limbs.
Sorry?
Body parts. Lost his foot in a combine. Oh, and his left arm was froze off back in the 30s.
Gee.
Just didn't want you to stare. Oh, come to think of it, Pete's missing a couple of fingers, too. Table saw, I think that was. Pete's the mayor of Dudley. Likes to call this place the City Hall.
They look identical. Hunched over their pitchers, tractor caps pushed back on their heads. Mid-70s, give or take.
Howdy, boys.
Well, look who's here.
I'd like to introduce you to the new Reverend.
Gentlemen.
Well, sit yourself down there, Reverend. And take a load off. Sheila! Pitcher for the Reverend here.
That's okay, really. No, thank you, Sheila. That's fine.
I don't know if you fellas heard, but the Reverend's got the church started up again.
Well, now, hey, I believe we did hear something. Didn't we, Sam? Yeah. Something about curing somebody's lust, I think it was.
Really? That's what you heard?
Reverend's staying over at the old Dudley manse. Turns out there was a big old trunk down in the cellar there, all locked up tight.
That's so.
I got her outside on the truck there. Thought Sam might come out and take a look at her.
Looks really interesting. You know, very old.
Uh-huh.
So, what do you say, boys?
Well, now, Sam here would be happy to help you fellas out. Wouldn't you, Sam? Yeah. Only thing is, it's an awful long way out to your truck there, Harold. That would involve us getting out of these here chairs.
Well, we'll just have to bring her in to you then, won't we, Reverend?
Sure. And that's what we do. We haul the trunk, which has apparently become a female trunk, off the truck again, into the beverage room, and all the way over to their table. It's getting heavy.
Okay. There she be.
Oh, yeah. She's a beauty, all right.
Think you can get her open?
Huh? Now, don't you worry, Reverend. Sam will get into her. Won't you, Sam?
Yeah.
You just leave her with us, Reverend. Sheila! You run on over to the garage, will you, dear? Pick up Sam's tools.
I don't like the idea of just leaving it. But the truth is, by this point, I'm too exhausted to argue.
All right, then. We'll be back in a little while.
Now, by the way, we'd sure love to see you in church on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Well. Well, you never know, Reverend. Stranger things have happened.
Back outside, we're just about to get into Harold's truck when another truck pulls up.
There you are, Reverend. I've been looking everywhere.
Rick, hi.
Howdy, Harold.
Rick. So, what do you think? Rain coming?
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Harold, why don't you go on without me? I'll see you over at the church.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Reverend. You bet.
Sorry to bother you, Reverend.
That's okay.
Do you think you could come by the house?
Right now?
Well, it's kind of an emergency.
Is everything all right?
It's Joni. She wants to meet you. I told her what you said this morning. Do you mind?
Of course not.
Great. Come on. We can take my truck.
For whiter, healthy-looking teeth.
The house has a stale odor. All the curtains are drawn. Joni is sitting on the couch watching TV. When we come in, she doesn't look up. Just keeps staring at the television the whole time we're talking.
Joni, this here's the Reverend I told you about.
Hi, Reverend.
You can call me Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
So here's the thing. Basically, Joni's been sitting on that couch there for... Well, how long would you say, Joni?
Couple of months.
Minimum. Could be longer.
I just can't seem to get up.
And the TV's always on, like 24 hours. She hardly even sleeps.
Actually, there's some pretty good programs.
I try to keep things up around the house and stuff. But the truth is, I'm getting drawn in, too. Sometimes the two of us are up all night. I mean, geez, we just sit here. You know, we hardly move.
The best part of waking up is Folgers.
Rick pulls me into the kitchen.
You gotta help us, Reverend.
Well, gosh, Rick, I'm not sure I'm the best person to talk to.
Well...
it's not exactly my area of expertise.
But what about Verna?
Verna? What about her?
You helped her. You cured her.
Whoa, now, just a sec.
It's no different. I figure she had the lust, and we've got, you know, the sloth.
The what?
The sloth.
The sloth?
I looked it up. It's one of the sins.
You're kidding, right?
I want you to cure us.
The sloth.
We're at the end of our ropes here.
And you want me to cure you?
If it's not too much trouble.
And how exactly am I supposed to do that?
What?
No, really, tell me, how do I cure sloth?
I don't know, Reverend. You're the minister.
Wait, I've got it. The Bible. A Bible verse. That should do the trick. Let me think. Ah. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting.
There's no need to be sarcastic, Reverend.
Well, that's your cure, Rick. Take it or leave it.
Say it again.
The slothful man...
the slothful man...
roasteth not...
roasteth not...
that which he took in hunting. I mean, that says it all, really, doesn't it, Rick?
I guess so.
Now, unless you have any other sins that need curing, I'll be on my way. I'm in a terrible mood. I head straight back to the manse. What I want is to lock the door, get into a steaming hot tub, and stay there for several hours. But when I arrive, it's like Grand Central Station.
Reverend, there you are. I made you some cookies. I was going to make them at home and bring them over, but then I thought, you might like them nice and hot out of the oven. That's how Jake likes them. That's how they're best. So you know what I did? I brought over all the ingredients. I made them here. Aren't I clever?
Hey there, Reverend.
That's Harold. He's down in the cellar.
I'm down in the cellar.
He's fixing the pipes.
I'm fixing the pipes.
Oh, there they are. Oh, look at the little darling. Harold, come upstairs, have some cookies. Guess what, Reverend? On the way here, I just popped in to get us some sugar, and everyone in the store was talking about you. And I know you said not to mention the lust, but I couldn't help it. It just came out. I think the church is going to be full on Sunday. It'll be packed to the rafters.
Something smells good up here.
Reverend, would you like a cookie?
No, thank you. Excuse me.
Where are you going?
I'm going upstairs for a tub.
I wouldn't do that, Reverend.
Why not?
No water.
What?
Had to shut her off. Gonna be a couple of days at least. Gotta get some new pipes in.
Are you sure you don't want a cookie?
Yes, Verna, I'm sure. Thank you. I do not want a cookie.
Well, there's no need to raise your voice.
I'm going to leave now, and when I come back, I'd like both of you to be gone. Out of my house, okay? Thank you.
I go directly to the beverage room. My plan is to march straight up to the bar, order a double scotch, no ice, swallow it in one gulp, and march right out again, not caring a damn who sees me. But when I get there, I'm waylaid by Pete and Sam, who by this time are several pitchers further into their day.
Hey, Rip! Take a load off!
Hello, gentlemen.
Sheila! A pitcher for the Reverend!
No, thank you, Sheila. So, gentlemen, any progress on the trunk?
Reverend, I'm glad you stopped in. Now, I don't know if you know, but you're looking at the mayor of Dudley.
Yes, I...
something I take very seriously. Very seriously, don't I, Sam?
Yeah.
And as such, I'm afraid I'm going to have to confiscate this here trunk.
Confiscate it?
As mayor of Dudley, I am. I hear ye! Hear ye! I am hereby declaring this here trunk an official historical trunk. Isn't that right, Sam?
Yeah.
So, thank you, Reverend, for bringing it to my attention. That'll be all. Unless you want to stick around for a picture. Hey. Maybe you can cure me of my drunkenness. Sam, do. No, you can cure Sam, do. You can cure the whole damn beverage room.
You can't do this. I found this trunk, and I intend to hang on to it. It belongs to the church.
Now, look here.
It was in the manse, and the manse is part of the church, and I work for the church, so I'm keeping it. Now, if you just excuse me, I'm taking it with me.
Now, you let go of that, Reverend.
Stay back. Stay back.
Reverend!
This is my trunk! This is my trunk! Stay away from me!
What?
Everyone stops and watches me drag the trunk across the floor, between the tables and out the door, raving the whole way.
Stay away! Stay away! This is my trunk!
And that's it. That is the tone I end up setting, my sales pitch to the people of Dudley. My message? Stay away. And not surprisingly, it works. When Sunday morning comes, the church is empty. Not a single person. Not even Michelle. I'd been secretly hoping that she'd turn up at the last second, but she doesn't. There's just Verna on the organ and Harold sitting in the front row. Well, I guess there's not much point in preaching to the two of you, but I do want to apologize for the other day. You were only being kind and generous, and I'm sorry.
That's okay, Reverend. Don't you worry about it.
I can't understand why nobody's here.
You know what I think? People in this town are just plain lazy.
Good point, Harold.
They're taking their sweet time.
We can't give up, Reverend.
They'll get around to it.
Now, why don't you give us your sermon?
We're a congregation, Reverend.
That's right, Harold.
I don't care what anyone says.
I can't help smiling.
Well, all right then.
And just as I'm about to begin, the doors open and in walk...
Look! It's Rick and Joni!
Well, come on in!
Hi, Harold. Hi, Verna.
Sorry we're late, Reverend.
Oh, that's okay. Listen, I'm sorry, too, about the other day, that whole sloth thing.
We got to admit, Reverend, at first we didn't know what to think.
All that about roasting the meat?
Didn't make much sense.
Yeah, I know. I was completely out of line. I'm sorry.
Don't apologize, Reverend. You are a genius.
What?
You see, I just kept reading that Bible verse over and over, right out loud.
Trying to figure out what the heck you were telling us.
And the more I read it, the hungrier we got.
Until eventually, I couldn't stand it anymore.
Guess what she does?
I jump up, turn off the TV.
Goes into the kitchen.
I fire up the stove.
And cooks us up a couple of steaks.
You're kidding.
Hasn't sat back down since. That was brilliant, that Bible verse. That really did the trick.
Way to go, Reverend.
What did I tell you?
You cured her, Reverend. You cured us both.
Hallelujah. Anyway, sorry for interrupting. We'll sit down now. You just pick up wherever you left off.
For a moment, I just stand there. I look down at the sermon I've written, and then I crumple it up.
I was planning to preach about sin this morning, or rather the absence of sin. I was going to make the case that sin simply doesn't exist, no matter how much we want it to, no matter how sexy we think it is, or how much we're addicted to it. I was planning to put forth a shocking and radical argument in the hopes of really shaking you up. But you know what? I'm not going to do that. Instead, I think I'll talk about myself. Because it's time we got to know each other better. And since I'm the one with the captive audience, I might as well get the ball rolling. That evening, I sit on the porch of the manse, the trunk in front of me. I've got a screwdriver and I try to open the lock with it. It doesn't work. In a way, it seems appropriate. Like this trunk is holding all the secrets of Dudley. Everything I don't know. Everything I can't crack. I have the portable phone with me on the porch. Hello.
Kevin?
Michelle! Where are you?
I'm in Calgary. Sorry for leaving so suddenly.
Oh, that's okay. Hey, guess what? I've got some news.
So do I.
I found something.
But I don't want to do this on the phone. It's important. I have something I want to tell you.
Really?
I'm coming back down tomorrow. I'll talk to you then, okay?
Oh, okay.
Hey, Kevin. I miss you.
Suddenly, my throat is dry. My palms are sweating.
Are you still there? Do you miss me? I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. Bye.
For a moment, my mind races, trying to imagine what she's going to say. But then I stop. I just stop. I settle back into my chair and put my feet up on the trunk. I decide I'm going to sit here all night. Just sit here. Not do anything. Explore the sin of sloth in all its quiet glory. Eventually, I close my eyes and let myself fall slowly into sleep.
That was Sloth, Episode 3 of The Seven Deadly Sins by Greg Nelson. In the cast, Richard Side was Reverend Kevin, Bridget O'Sullivan was Verna, Lee Taylor was Harold, and Julian Fargy was Michelle. Matt Morrow was Rick, Wendy Knoll was Joni, Edward Ivanko was Pete, and Barney O'Sullivan made a special appearance as Sam. Original music was composed by Brian Tate. The script editor was Dave Carley. The associate producer was Dagmar Kafunka-Nunn. The recording engineer was Chris Cutress. The Seven Deadly Sins was produced and directed in Vancouver by Kathleen Flaherty. The executive producer was me, James Roy. You can order The Seven Deadly Sins on CD. The cost is just $21 for one episode or $45 for the entire series of 7.5 hours. To order, you can phone 416-205-5966. You can also email us at radiodrama on CD at toronto.cbc.ca. Or you can send a check payable to CBC to Radiodrama on CD, Box 500, Station A, Toronto, M5W1E6. Next week, Episode 4 of The Seven Deadly Sins. Kevin and Harold find a secret treasure that the Reverend is sure will help Michelle solve her family mystery. That's Episode 4 of The Seven Deadly Sins, 1 week from now.
You're tuned to CBC Radio 2, Classics and Beyond, in Ottawa at 103.3 FM.